This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, where, like everywhere, we have to deal with death. And hey, you know what? Maybe we do it now. We are your podcast hosts, Taylor and Chelsea, here today doing a Chelsea episode. And in fact, she told me beforehand, but I think we're dealing with death.
Joke's on you. We're dealing with life.
Oh, damn it. It's like all the other episodes.
Yeah. You only thought that I told you. And really, I don't know. I got nothing.
Oh, God.
Today I'm here not only to bridge the gap from Halloween to regular Journey to the Fringe life, but also between the living and the dead. And what more of a perfect time to do that than the day after Halloween?
Well, the day after Halloween is All Saints Day, which is where we...
Are you serious?
Yeah. Did you not know that?
No.
No, November 1st is All Saints Day, where we cherish in remembrance of all of the saints.
Huh. Well, then maybe this episode is not appropriate, but we don't care. Okay. Maybe this is about a saint.
And Chelsea, just so we're on the same page, to make a saint, one has to die. There are no living saints.
Yeah, so we're going to deal with that today. We're not going to murder anybody here. We're going to learn about the Grim Reaper. Yet. Grim Reaper. You know him to see him. He's the berobed skeleton wielding a scythe, mostly donning a deep hood, so you can't see his face. Mostly. There are exceptions to the rule. And we know he's a skeleton in that deep robe, though. Sometimes you see like a glimpse of like a skeleton hand or something like that. And beliefs regarding what he's doing include a wide variety of things, but the most popular are either that he's causing the victim's death by coming to collect that person's soul, so he is taking part in the murder of that person, essentially, he's causing that person's death, or the alternative being a psychopomp, which is responsible to escort newly deceased souls to the afterlife and has no control over when or how the victim dies. Just the escorting of the soul to the
just
afterlife.
Just has to be there, yeah. It happens that they died, so he was there.
Obviously, the role is filled by other characters and entities in other cultures. The correct term being psychopomp, like I just called him, which actually I didn't know that it was even a thing before.
Is that French?
I don't know what it is. Let me see if I can find out quick.
That sounds like crazy grapefruit in my mind.
It's French. From a Greek word.
Oh.
Literally meaning guiding of souls. But the Greek word does not look like psychopomp at all. So, guider of souls are way more than I would ever think. But alas, today I'm only talking about the Grim Reaper. Could potentially be an episode in the future to talk about all the different ones you have all over the world. Psychopomps come in all shapes and sizes, as well as genders. And they exist in all cultures throughout all of recorded history. Ancient people took a friendlier approach to death. For example, Thanatos, the Greek god of death, was an attractive and noble-hearted young man. And the Valkyries, who decided which Norse soldiers would die in battle, were beautiful and heroic women.
Well, they were not only, they didn't choose which soldiers died in battle, they chose which ones would go to Valhalla fighting so valiantly. And I always find that so interesting with older requisitions of death, is that they aren't necessarily talking about like killing people. It's more so just like their job and what they're looking at.
Yeah. The turning point in our attitude towards death came in the 14th century when Europe was ravaged by the Black Plague. In some cities, as many as 1 in 5 people died from the plague. Decaying bodies piled up in the streets and everyone had loved ones to grieve. Not a great time to be alive. During the plague, artists began painting death as a horrific figure rather than...
somebody doing their job. Yeah, just a profession.
Yeah, exactly what Taylor just said. Skeletons armed with deadly weapons danced among plague victims in the street and rode white horses with wagons full of bodies attached. Eventually, a black cloaked figure, the first recognizable reaper, began appearing at the head of these ghastly processions. His dark costume and curved scythe may have been inspired by plague doctors who wore dark shrouds and bird-like masks to protect themselves from breathing infected air. Which, there is some similarities between the two, actually, if you were to look at them side by side. Equally creepy, I would say. One no more creepy than the other.
But also, like, I honestly love the death mask of the doctors at that time, where they had the bird kind of like nose coming out and all the poultice inside it.
Couldn't have been a creepier mask, I don't think.
Yeah. No. You couldn't have tried to make it. And that was their way of being like healthy. So it's beautiful how they did it.
It served a purpose, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So the name Grim Reaper doesn't appear until the 19th century, although the Grim was a popular nickname for death dating all the way back to the 13th century.
Huh.
A really cool history. And the Grim Reaper is now our beloved personification of death. And it kind of emerges out of this kind of tradition as it became from all this darkness. But why the skeletal figure? Why the scythe? Why the robe? Skeletons are symbolic of death.
Yeah, fair enough. It makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. Representing the human body after it has decayed. Robe is thought to be reminiscent of the robes that religious figures of the time wore when conducting funerary services.
That makes sense.
Scythe is an apt image taken from agricultural practices at the time. Harvesters used scythe to reap or harvest crops that were ready to be plucked from the earth. And while that's kind of what happens when humans die and the Grim Reaper comes for them, they are plucked from the earth as if they are being harvested. Yeah,
well, and it's kind of like he's explaining the cyclical nature of it, of souls.
Yeah.
Through harvesting the crops.
Yeah.
That's always how I've kind of noticed it.
It's actually pretty cool, yeah, that he's coming for them to harvest them. The Grim Reaper is a complicated guy. Sometimes he's a psychopomp collecting a soul, and others look at him as a harbinger of death. Actually, I forgot one when I was talking about why he comes. There's also that other one where he's coming to predict somebody dying. You see the Grim Reaper before someone dies, which is a little bit more terrifying. Not really. Not one is not more terrifying than the other, I don't think, whether you see him or not. Let's be honest. With that setup, I think we all have a pretty good idea going in of who and what the Grim Reaper is, as much as he likes to be a man of mystery. So I'm filling this episode up with sightings. Some I've proofread, some I'm leaving wild card because it's just who I am. And let's start off with something super interesting that I stumbled upon from the online nursing continuing education course.
Chelsea, before we start these, I am curious how close Grim Reaper sightings are to Shadow People sightings.
I didn't see anything where I could have said, you know what, that's a shadow person.
Okay, fair enough.
And I didn't come across any... We've read a lot of shadow person sightings, and I've never thought one might be the Grim Reaper.
But at the same time, like, it's an entirely black or opaque character. So you think that, like, it could be considered a shadow person. So it's interesting.
That being said, I could think that some of these could be in your episode of robed figures.
Oh, fair enough.
That's an interesting question. Let's see what we think about it by the end, if we remember.
Okay.
Yeah, like I was saying, this is super cool. I wasn't expecting to find this. This is from the online nursing continuing education, which is onlinenursingcontinuingeducation.com, titled Apparitions of the Grim Reaper. Some individuals describe seeing the Grim Reaper at the foot of their bed during a near-death experience, NDE. The figure is described as wearing a hooded cloak, often faceless, but occasionally a skeletal figure is visible underneath. The figure often makes individuals feel cold. Undoubtedly, this is a frightening experience. Most report that the figure simply fades away when told to leave. Ralph had an encounter with a Grim Reaper after being admitted to the hospital because of a heart attack. He reported suddenly feeling very cold, below freezing. At the foot of my bed, on the right side, was a dark gray cloaked stranger. He had no face. How did you know it was a he? I didn't know. I just knew. The other thing I knew was I wasn't bad enough or sick enough to go with him. Lawrence, 1997. Nurses also have reported seeing the Grim Reaper. Here's an example. I was running down the hall to my patient's room so I could relieve the nurse in charge. I ran past this room, across the central floor, nurse's station, and had run past five rooms before I registered what I saw. I did not believe it. I went back down the hall and stopped at the room. I glanced into it. On the bed was a little gray-haired lady dressed in lace, propped up with pillows. Beside the bed stood this tall figure dressed in a monk's robe with its head covered. It looked at me when I appeared in the door. His face was a skull with tiny red fire for eyes. His hands, skeletal, were patiently folded over each other inside the dark sleeves. My impression was he was just patiently waiting. Travinsky, 1997. The Grim Reaper is not always reported as a frightening figure. Sometimes he is helpful. A man reported being on his couch one evening watching television. He saw the cloaked figure of the Grim Reaper. Realizing someone was close to death, he ran upstairs and found his wife had attempted suicide. He was able to call an ambulance in time to save his wife. Travinsky, 1992. In her book, Dancing Past the Dark, Distressing Near-Death Experiences, the author Nancy Bush describes not only distressing near-death experiences, but also distressing deathbed visions. Based on the information in this book, these Grim Reaper experiences could well be called distressing near-death visits. As described in this course, these experiences are similar to the previously described near-death visits, but felt as distressing. In these cases of distressing near-death visits, the patients perceive a figure as frightening, thus naming it the Grim Reaper. A parallel could be made with a patient who saw a hooded, faceless figure, but instead of being distressed, interpreted the image positively, being the figure to be Jesus. From the research about distressing experiences, we now believe that there are distressing near-death experiences, distressing deathbed visions, and distressing near-death visits. In all three cases, the distresses can come from the way a person interprets the image and or experience, not necessarily what is said or done. I thought that was just a good point, so I left it in the end. But I thought that was so cool that it was on a continuing education course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not somebody who's directly, like, worried about him. Like, oh shit, he's coming for me because I'm about to die.
No, but close enough to death to have sightings.
Exactly, yeah.
So, my next few are from nurses because I didn't even think to include nurses when I came across that. So I was looking for nurse encounters and I have a few coming up here. So, quote, a nurse friend worked in a nursing home and one of her patients, a man in his 80s, whom we'll call Sam, was rumored to have been involved with one of the most infamous crime families. He may have actually been a hitman and had spent many years in prison before being paroled as an elderly man. One night, while assisting a patient, she suddenly heard a man screaming. She and the patient both looked into the hallway outside the room and were horrified to see Sam being dragged down the hallway by two figures dressed in all black. She dropped what she was doing and dashed into the hallway, but there was no one there. The exit door at the end of the hallway was still closed, locked to the outside, and the alarm was on but silent. Two other residents who routinely kept their room doors open at night had also seen the same black-clad figures dragging Sam down the hallway toward the locked door. Running back to Sam's room, she found that he had passed away quietly in his bed and nothing in his room had been disturbed. She and the residents were convinced that on that night they saw Sam's soul being dragged to hell. End quote. Next up, this is a story that's going around TikTok right now. From at TeddyLove302 on TikTok. And she's a hospice nurse who explains that she was at her station one night and she swore she saw a strange hand brush the face of one of her sleeping patients. She knew there was no one in the room and rushed in to confirm that indeed the patient was all alone. Still, she claimed she saw something and could not figure out what she had witnessed. Later, she wondered if perhaps she caught a glimpse of the Grim Reaper himself and wondered if it meant the patient was at the end of their journey. Sure enough, when she arrived for her shift the following day, she learned that the patient had died. In the comments, other medical workers chime in and they say they too have witnessed similar occurrences and that the angel of death is very real in the hospice space. Okay, next one. This is Reddit. Reddit user ExpensiveRooster43. He's at my work sometimes. He does rounds days up to months before he takes them. I can see him in my peripheral view. I don't acknowledge him by looking at him, but I will tell my coworkers he's back and they'll acknowledge they either saw him or experienced other paranormal activity around the same time. I laugh because a bunch of people commented on this asking where this person worked and they didn't actually reply. So I'm gonna assume it's a hospital. That's the only thing that would make logical sense to me. And another thing I want to note at this time is a lot of people say when they have sightings of the Grim Reaper that it's only in their peripheral vision, which is funny to say the least, I think.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Though I know a lot of sightings of paranormal things are in the peripheral vision. Here's another good one. We're getting away from the hospital scene, and I'm jumping over to a book called Gods of Eden by William Bramley. And this is from page 185. It's titled on this page, Grim Reaper. Fascinatingly, there were also accounts of horrible men, demons, and fearful faces dressed in black and carrying long scythes, brooms, and swords that were directly associated with plague outbreaks. A second phenomenon was sometimes reported. The appearance of frightening human-like figures dressed in black. Those figures were often seen on the outskirts of town or village, and their presence would signal the outbreak of an epidemic almost immediately. A summary written in 1682 tells of one such visit a century earlier. Quote, in Brandenburg in Germany, there appeared in 1559 horrible men, of whom at first 15 and later on 12 were seen. The foremost had beside their posteriors little heads, the others fearful faces and long scythes, with which they cut at the oats so that the swish could be heard at a great distance, but the oats remained standing. When a quantity of people came running out to see them, they went on with their mowing. End quote. The visit of the strange men to the oat fields was followed immediately by a severe outbreak of the plague in Brandenburg. This incident raises intriguing questions. Who were these mysterious figures? What were the long scythe-like instruments they held that emitted a loud swishing sound? Sounds like a scythe. It appears that the scythes may have been long instruments designed to spray poison or germ-laden gas. This means that the townspeople misinterpreted the movement of the scythes as an attempt to cut oats when in fact the movements were the act of spraying aerosols on the town. Similar men dressed in black were reported in Hungary. quote, in the mountain towns of Hungary on Ascension Day in the evening, to the great disturbance of all, when on the Schulersberg, they appeared so many black riders that the opinion was prevalent that the Turks were making a secret raid, but who rapidly disappeared again, and thereupon a raging plague broke out in the neighborhood in the year of Christ 1571 was seen at Amminst. Quote, strange men dressed in black, demons, and other terrifying figures were observed in other European communities. The frightening creatures were often observed carrying long brooms, scythes, or swords that were used to sweep or knock at the doors of people's homes. The inhabitants of these homes fell ill with the plague afterwards. It is from these reports that people created the popular image of death as a skeleton or demon carrying a scythe. The scythe came to symbolize the act of death, mowing down people like stalks of grain. End quote. End of the whole section of this. I thought that was a super interesting one. It's not really the pop culture. Like what I explained at the beginning of the episode is kind of the pop culture. This is kind of a different, not just take, but different.
Yeah, it's a softer one for sure.
Yeah, this one is almost like, I don't know if it's Grim Reapers per se, but they were people showing up prior to an outbreak happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In certain areas. And they could be Grim Reapers, actually, because they're, but then they say that they were spraying something. So I'm not sure what to make of that, other than they might have been the plague doctors. I don't know. But I thought that was creepy nonetheless, to think of people showing up in towns dressed like Grim Reapers or something. So we'll move on from that to more Reddit encounters. And these ones are wild cards. They are not hospitals or anything. They are just people giving sightings of the Grim Reaper. So, user deleted. As a person who has medically died multiple times, I want to say what you saw is probably a Reaper. Granted, you saw the black figure because it probably wasn't after you. My experience with Reapers is that they take the form of something that comforts you. Personally, I believe they can alter space and time. Because I could see the doctors and I'm screaming, but I can't hear them and they can't hear me. Then someone special to me was in a chair and ended up talking about my whole life, including stuff you forget. I think they take the form to help comfort you moving on. But I got the defibrillator, so it ended there. Not entirely sure why you could see them, though. Usually something has to die. Background on this one, it was a post of someone sharing a Grim Reaper experience. That's why he's saying, not sure why you could see them though. Next sighting, user, it is what TODIS? I don't know. It is what OT is. I don't know. So I was actually looking for one of these to comment on because my biological grandmother was incredibly convinced that my biological father was a psychic medium, or you could call it a prophet. You could if it's a cult. We also have native blood, and my father was associated with eagles or birds. I've had a lot of religious experiences in my life and have had good understanding of psychology, which obviously totally rejects spiritual experiences, and you walk a fine line whenever you discuss it. I've seen the future probably over 40 times in my lifetime, very detailed. If you say you saw something like a ghost, people assume it's schizophrenia, but I can't shake off an experience I had. My mind could have been playing tricks on me, but I was listening to a song called Directions by Nacho and Medicine for People, which calls out on grandparents for guidance. It has a feel about it that is a lot like native prayer. My cat suddenly started saying my grandmother's name, plain and clear. My grandpa is deceased. I tried to get it on camera, but I failed, although it was definitely happening. He never said her name before. And it was clearly her name, almost like a human saying it. It happened for several weeks, and prior to it stopping, I was certain I saw the Grim Reaper. In a black robe with the hood up was a person, and my cat was saying my grandma's name, plus something that sounded like, "Where are you?" I thought that I might be getting a warning that I was about to die, but then about 3 to 4 months later, my grandmother passed away. What a weird sighting this is. My cat had already stopped saying her name about 3 months prior, and it only happened for 2 weeks. That is why I think the Grim Reaper does usher people between, and I don't think the Grim Reaper is a demon. I think you can see the spiritual world, but only some people. That is why I know I didn't understand that he was coming from my grandma, but I understood later. I felt a little bit of anxiety, but not scared either. I was mostly confused about how to interpret it. It was a person maybe 5'5 or 5'6 and in a black cloak with a hood. Couldn't see the face and they were not looking at me, just kind of about 3 feet away. My cat just kept saying my grandma's name over and over again, which I thought maybe my grandpa, who was already dead, was looking for my grandma. I had no idea my grandma was about to die either. I thought maybe I was going to die. Completely silent hooded figure too. I've had weird experiences before. We had a house that used to have doors that would slam shut, and we moved in whenever I was around. And we moved in whenever I was around 12
years
old.
I'm sorry, Chelsea, did we just stop talking about the, like, short Grim Reaper and start talking about the house? Okay.
I never brought it up, but when I was alone, the door downstairs to the bathroom that connected to another room used to slam shut when I was down there sometimes. That was a long time ago, though, too. I remember things felt different there. So that was clearly one that I didn't proofread, so I'm experiencing this fresh with you live. That was quite strange. I don't know why he thinks that it's not weird that the cat was saying his grandma's name.
Or that it was like a 5'6" Grim Reaper that just kind of showed up.
Not that tall. He was kind of short, actually. He's my height. He's not tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was weird. That was... Why was the cat saying the grandma's name? Okay. User E3-. I personally have never seen anything paranormal, but my dad swears he saw the Grim Reaper. It was a pretty dark time in his life around that time. Anytime we ask him about it, his hair stand up. He said, could you imagine if you could physically see someone's hair standing up when they're creeped out? Don't you usually just like get a sensation? It's not like they actually stand
up. That would be great.
Like, wow, are you creeped out? Your hair is literally standing right up.
I feel like you make that a circus act right there.
But you can't just creep someone out on demand. It has to be like, you have to be camping in the woods. You have to be listening to a scary story and be in a tent. We already established this on Friday the 13th. He says he was outside at night smoking a cigarette and felt somebody breathing on his neck and his hair stood up. He looked back and saw a figure wearing a hood and he couldn't see a face. It's pretty interesting. He's seen a lot. I had to look behind me. That creeps me out. Would you rather feel someone breathing on your neck and it be the Grim Reaper, or they put their skeleton hand on your shoulder? You gotta answer. You gotta what one?
Probably the shoulder.
The skeleton hand?
Yeah. Yeah.
No breathing on the neck, hey? Oh, that's actually, that actually sounds pretty bad. I don't like that. Okay. User Blondie1967. When I was about 14 years old, I was going to my mate's house. This was about a 5-minute
walk. Oh no, they're Australian.
I know, that's what I thought too. Shit. It was thick fog about November time. I had to walk by a green, which is a grassed area, a bit like a roundabout, but down a suburban street, not a main road. There was a really big tree on this green, a weeping willow. I bet you it was a nice freaking weeping willow. As I was walking along, I saw what I can only describe as the Grim Reaper stood next to the big tree. All in black, a big hood covering the face, just stood staring at me in the fog. I don't remember seeing a scythe. I remember staring back, frozen to the spot, thinking, what's going on? It didn't speak. It didn't move. Just stood staring. I ran to my mate's house. I would fucking run too, I think. Banging on the door. My mate's dad and brother went out to see if they could see anything, but after being gone about 20 minutes, they returned. They couldn't see anyone. I've never seen it since, but I won't forget that night. Oh, that's a creepy one.
That is. If only I could understand what was going on, because it was Australian.
It's true. You can't understand that language. I'm surprised I read it so flawlessly, though.
Yeah. I mean, you helped a lot.
I know. I do what I can. User MacGyver Fiverr. I was walking down the street on my way to return someone's favorite coffee cup, so I was like super busy, or else I would have stopped and walked right up to him talking about, what's up, bruh? Because was in the middle of like so many fucking paranormal situations all at once, but it wasn't nothing new to me. End up seeing him standing over in the distance beside a highway, just watching the traffic and enjoying the weather with a black cape on, with the hood on, holding a stick about tall as he was, with an axe looking thingy on top of it. What am I reading? I have read somewhere that he has something to do with the Revolutionary War and or the Civil War, but I don't know. If you have any idea the relationship between them, I'd be interested to find out. As it turns out, there is a ghost or spirit, I don't know the difference between the two, that is like 272 years old, who fought in the Revolutionary War. I have a reason to believe that he is my great-great-great-grandfather. I'd like to find out what his name is, and then my granddad's dad was in the Civil War. Oh, well, so that. Okay.
Oh, that was a good story. I'm really liking, actually, the despondence between the stories that you told prior Reddit, where they were definitely like people were dying. And now the
it's getting
a Grim Reaper shape. I agree, Grim Reaper hate shape, but not Grim Reaper activities going on.
And this one wanted to go up to him and say, "What's up, brah?" But he was too busy. Then there was a cat talking. Truth Teller 001 just came across this post. I had a crazy repeat encounter when I lived in Brooklyn, New York. My brother and I were about 5 and 6, so when we began seeing a man in a hood holding a large stick just standing on a rooftop that was about 3 buildings away. We were about 5 stories up and our window had bars on them for safety. Our window looked down at where the man would stand every single day with his back facing us. This happened for about 2 or 3 days until one day the man turned around, but it wasn't a man. He had a skeleton face and we heard a voice come from the walls telling us, "Stay away from the window or I'll come for you." The figure didn't eat or sleep, he just stood there all the time and he seemed to know whenever we would open the curtain and look out the window. We didn't know anything about a Grim Reaper at the time, so we called him Skeletor because he looked like the character from He-Man.
Fair enough.
We told our parents about Skeletor on the roof, but the adults couldn't see him for some reason. Our cousins came over and also saw him. One day, while we were playing hide-and-go-seek, we decided to turn the lights out in our bathroom, and when we tried to turn it back on, the lights would not come on. We tried to leave the bathroom, but the door wouldn't open. Then a voice came from the small bathroom window, "Don't worry, I'll come and get you." We were scared to death. Also, we tried to test him one day and decided to see what he would do if we didn't obey his order to stay away from the window. Figure walked off to the right until we could no longer see it, and as soon as he was out of sight, there was a loud knock at the door. It was literally a few seconds after he cleared the window frame. There was no possible way a person could get down flights of stairs and then walk over to our building and go back up 5 stories to our apartment in that amount of time. We begged our mom not to answer the door, but she thought we were imagining things. She answered the door and nobody was there. From then on, we stayed away from the window. Your story about nobody seeing the figure you saw shook me, same with us, but we remember till this day. That one, I didn't know what to make of that, which is why it made it in.
Yeah, it's different, like categorically different from everything we've talked about. Like, I would say there's 2 categories before that, and this is a distinct third right there.
Yeah. So you'll notice in my sightings that I specifically did physical sightings only. There's a whole other genre out there about those who see the Grim Reaper in their dreams. And like I mentioned in the beginning of the story, there's also kind of the stigma, I guess, around the Grim Reaper that he also signifies somebody in your life is going to pass away.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that he's coming to collect a soul and to usher it to the other side or causing it. I haven't really seen anything in my research that would say that he's causing someone's death. And again, it's all on perception. And then I also saw the stories where, like I just said, with it's all on perception, where it was in the nursing thing, I think, that it's on perception. Because some people think it's Jesus, where others see the Grim Reaper. And then there's others that made the comparison to the Grim Reaper of near-death experiences. And this might be something for another episode, where people cross over and right before they died, they say, you know, their husband waiting for them, their mother waiting for them and saying, "Come with me," or something like that. And that's also compared to the Grim Reaper because it's
that happens a lot, but that's also not the Grim Reaper. Like, the Grim Reaper is a very specific character.
Yes.
Which I agree.
Yes, it's good, which is why I didn't put it in here.
Yeah.
But it's the same comparison of the Psychopomp, which might be something to look into in a future episode as well, because it's all on how you're perceiving whatever instance it is. And then there's also a whole other thing of, you know, people coming for you when you die, near-death experiences, something and stuff like that. There's also the perception of really bad near-death experiences, which is terrifying and also super interesting. And so I just talked myself in a circle because I was also talking about how I didn't include anything of dreams, but I did want to throw in here as my last story because I am renownedly a sleepwalker. It's came up a few times in our episodes, and I myself have woken up more than likely sleepwalking and have seen the Grim Reaper myself. I woke up, looked at the Grim Reaper, literally standing there with his big cloak with a scythe. You could see his skeleton hands, and I said, oh, it's the Grim Reaper, and I laid back down and fell asleep. I have seen him, and that's the funny thing about sleepwalking is it's a dream, and I interact with things, but I wanted to share my own experience.
And importantly, just like seeing the Grim Reaper, it's how everybody experiences it and will feel other people judge them when they tell them about it.
Yeah, so don't judge me.
Yeah.
I saw him.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I mean, it didn't shake me that I couldn't fall back asleep after it.
Yeah. But anyhow, Chelsea, after reading these stories, do you feel like this is a character who's actually doing anything or just kind of waiting for things to happen?
You get that feeling, don't you, that he's just kind of waiting?
Yeah.
In which case...
He took no actions throughout, like, pretty much all of the stories. It's just like, oh, yeah, and he was there.
I got the same feeling, and it didn't make that big of an appearance in this episode. That's why I kind of had to stress it at the end, but he does seem like he's more of a predictor of somebody who's going to die soon.
Yeah.
Because you start having sightings around them, especially the nurses that have had the sightings. And there's that cool show that's one of my favorite, Dead Like Me. That's such a good show. I love that show. And they're passed over and they have their own jobs of being Grim Reapers. So they have to go collect a soul before the person dies.
See, I was thinking more of Discworld, but there were no punny reactions from death. So it's not quite the same.
Discworld?
Discworld, yes.
Sounds like a DJ.
Well, it's Terry Pratchett, so you get what you get.
Okay.
But yeah, Chelsea, I think this is a great place to stop. This is, it's a very interesting character to look at, and I know we restricted it to just like a North American standpoint, so there are many different ways we can look at this going forward. So I don't think this will be our only parlay with death going forward, but I think it will at least be our first.
At least.
And with that, I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Hey, happy All Saints Day.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.